Still feeling stuck in yesterday? At this moment, 70% of the world is already in tomorrow. Where are you? Perhaps it's time for you to upgrade time. Perhaps it's time for you to get in now.
So you too can be in the moment. You know, if time is money, you don't have any money, you should take the time. It seems like it's time for a change. So we were interested in changing time.
This calendar system was developed by a guy named Joseph Scalinger. This was right around the time of 1582 or 1583. This was when the Gregorian, Pope Gregory, he had the smartest men in all of the Holy Roman Empire. He got those guys together and said, we need to fix it. People are going crazy. Joseph Scalinger was not on the inside. He was a bright guy, but he wasn't on the inside circle. He wasn't politically connected the way that other people were. And he was an astronomer. So every night he would make his astronomical observations. And what the fix that the Pope Gregory's inner circle came up with was, they're like, wow, our calendar's 10 days out of whack. So what we're going to do is, by papal bull, by decree, on October 4th, when people went to bed the one night by papal decree, the next night it was October 15th. The Pope was a lot more powerful back then.
Yeah.
And because they had to make this correction for their calendar.
This is the Julian calendar in 1582.
The glitch.
They detected the glitch because of Easter. And Easter, there's like a mathematical formula for the derivation of the date that Easter is supposed to fall on. And it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. I think that's roughly
when Easter is.
That's when Easter is. And based on those parameters, they calculated out that Easter can fall anywhere from, you know, this date to this date. It can fall. Easter will jump around, and it'll be anywhere between these two brackets of these dates. One year they were making their calculations for when Easter was going to fall in the next year, and the date for Easter was over here. It was like outside of the bracket. So they're like, our calendar's we're going to be worshiping the birth of our Savior on the wrong day. And so that was a real spiritual conundrum for them. They were filled with angst. The reason why their calendar had drifted out of accuracy is because they were using the Julian calendar, which was developed by Julius Caesar, Roman emperor who conquered Egypt and fell in love with Cleopatra and blah, 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 all that stuff. Okay. Well, the Romans had a really lousy calendar because this is really funny. The Roman calendar was, they would argue and debate about whether it was time for a leap day or how many days there were going to be in that year in the Roman Senate. So, I mean, you can imagine, you know how politicians today are, you know, argue about pork barrel projects and like, well, we're going to build the military base that we don't need, but it's in my district and we're going to have jobs. So the same kind of thing happened in Rome, but not with like the military budget, with the actual calendar. They would say like, well, this year we're going to have 385 days. And what the Roman senators would do is they were charged rent. They would charge extra rent on their properties. And so it's just crazy. Some things shouldn't be left up to a political decision-making process. It doesn't make any difference how many people think it's a good idea that the Earth turns at a certain speed and it's not really subject to debate.
Run that past me again about the rent.
Well, the Roman senators were all millionaires of their day, and they could charge extra rent. They could say, well, we're going to have 14 months in this year. I mean, it was totally arbitrary. It was totally – the Roman calendar was a creature of political winds. So that was nutty. So when Julius Caesar went to Egypt and conquered Egypt and did all that stuff there, he was introduced to their Egyptian calendar. And the Egyptians had a great calendar because every year, like clockwork, the Nile flooded and it rose on a certain date, and then the Nile – receded, and so they couldn't help but get it right because they had overwhelming environmental cycles that even they couldn't ignore. But the Egyptians were kind of mystical about stuff. So the calendar that they derived was 365 days long, and then every 4 years they'd have a leap year. So it works out to be 300 1/4 days or 365.25 days. But as we were looking earlier, remember it was the day or the year is 25,167 chi long. So those extra 167 chi, every year that error adds up. And so over the course of about 100 or so years, you get an extra your whole day off. And so by the 15th century, 1,500 years later, they were off by 11 days. So that error, that little tiny bit of error, had accumulated every year until it added up to over 10 days. And that's when they realized that, and they discovered this because Easter was falling outside of the bracket. So they had to fix it. Okay. So he got his inside crew, and they developed the proposal to how to reform the calendar and fix it. Well, Joseph Scaliger and all the other astronomers are damned if they're going to have the civil society, the religious society, like jacking the dates around on them for their astronomical observations, because it would totally mess things up if you're like, the moon is here on this date, and then these dates never happened, and then the next date is this 11 days later. That's ridiculous. So he goes, well, you guys are full of it, and I'm going to develop my autonomous system that it doesn't get jacked around with days of the week or months of the year, and I'm going to develop an alternative system, and that's what he did. Now, he called it the Julian date system because his dad's name was Julius, so he kind of named it after his dad. Okay. Or that's the story anyways.
Maybe you mentioned something about chi. Maybe you could give our audience a little bit of an introduction as to exactly what is a chi.
Well, a chi is it's the metric second. It's 1/100,000th of a day. In a day, a 24-hour day, there's 24 hours and then 60 minutes in each hour and 60 seconds in each minute. So if you do the math, it's 86,400 seconds. You kind of scratch your head and you go, well, who came up with that? And the Babylonians and the Assyrians came up with that about 5,000 years ago. And like, well, how did they come up with 24 hours in a day? And that's not exactly clear, but it seems like they had a reflective idea of the order of the universe. And perhaps as there are 12 zodiac signs in the year, there should be 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night. So that makes 24 hours. Now, I've done a lot of research, and it's been hard to verify if that's the real reason why. So that may or may not be the real reason why. But anyway, 24 is what they came up with. 60, the dividing of each hour into subsets of 60, is a lot easier to explain. And that is because the Babylonians had a sexagesimal mathematical system. What's that? A sexagesimal is it means base 60. We don't have a sexagesimal math system. We have a decimal math system, base 10. So so it's kind of hard to understand the native Babylonian mathematics system. Like, let me put it this way. It made perfect sense for them to divide things up into 60 because they divided everything up into 60. Well, if we were going to start anew, it would make more natural sense for us to divide things up by 10 because we divide things up by 10. I don't think that it's better to divide things up by 10, but in the same way that Martin Luther broke the Catholic stranglehold on a spiritual connection with God by translating the Bible out of Latin into a language that nobody except the monks and the deacons could speak, he translated that into a contemporary German. And so people could actually read the book for themselves, and then they weren't dependent on other people to say what was in the book. Because, like, if you can't read, and I'm the only person who can read, I can tell you whatever I want to. Yeah, like, well, this right
time
here.
Time is money.
This right here says that you have to worship me.
Yeah.
And if no one else can read it, then, like, it's a good deal for me. So what I'm doing here is I'm breaking the Babylonian sexagesimal encryption of time and translating it into a more idiomatic, contemporary understanding of base 10. The Babylonian society was an extremely hierarchical society where the vast majority of people worked like dogs and had to shave their heads and plow the fields and weave mats out of grass, where in an extreme minority at the very top of society, sitting on top of gigantic mud pyramids, got to sleep all day and stay up all night and study the stars, which is a really beautiful thing. I highly encourage folks to do that if they can get the time freedom to do that. But it's not a very egalitarian way to structure society. And it's great if you have the mental ability to be so mathematically nimble that you can think in terms of base 60. But that's an extreme minority of people who have the ability to do that. Base 10 is a lot more crude. It's less lyrically expressive of subtle nuance. It's clunky, but it's something that everybody can understand. So, and I am for people regaining personal temporal autonomy and a clarity of understanding over their days, over the time, so they can spend it how they so choose. And with a decibel time system, that becomes more apparent.
What do you mean by autonomy?
Self-rule.
Okay, so we have Kai, and we have a little bit of historical reference. Now, how do we go to the actual formulation of Kai itself in relation to the Julian calendar, in relation to the Gregorian?
Well, Kai time is not so much to do with the calendar time, like the months of the year, because that's a bigger time frame than Kai time sort of more focuses on. Kai is like a decimal second. It's 1/100,000th of a day. If you took a whole bunch of Kais and you strung them together in a Kai tempo, it would be about 69 or 70, roughly 70 Kai per minute. And that's an adagio, if you're familiar with music terminology, like allegretto or largo or andante. Those are all Italian terms for the tempo of music.
Can you give us a little bit of Kai time?
Well, I could try. It sounds a lot like seconds. It's just you almost don't recognize it. It's a little faster, but it sounds like this.
Okay, well, we're dialing into Kai time.
If you're curious about it, you can go to – there's a website that has a whole bunch of different decimal time systems, and sort of people argue about which – because there's lots of folks who have developed different flavors or versions of decimal time. And there's a website called decimaltime.org, decimaltime.org, and there's all kinds of definitions of the Kai in terms of, you know, very, very precise – nuclear physics terminology, like the number of oscillations in a cesium-133 cascade. It's 864 milliseconds, or 0.864 seconds. 100 of these Kai durations equals about a minute and a half. It's 86.4 seconds.
Maybe you could give us a little insight in terms of the speed of light, the position of the Earth, and its relation to Kai.
If you close your eyes, it makes it easier. I don't know. But if you imagine the orbit of the Earth around the Sun, which is pretty close to a circle. It's not exactly a circle. It's a little bit elliptical, but you wouldn't know it to see it. It would look round. If you drew a triangle inside the orbit of the Earth around the Sun, each one of those... it was an equilateral triangle. Each one of the sides of the triangle would be equal to each other. That's an equilateral triangle. And each of the degrees is 60 degrees. Each one of those sides is about 259 million kilometers long, which is the distance that light can travel in 1,000 Kai. So equal to 14.4 minutes. So that's the speed of light traveling, which is 186,000 miles per second, or about 300,000 kilometers per second. Light traveling at that speed, it in 1,000 Kai, it covers exactly the distance. So that gives you an idea of the scale.
All right. This is Vector for Transmissions, and I'm speaking with...
My name is Jonathan Jay.
Jonathan Jay, and where do you hail from?
I've been living in Seattle for the last 23 years.
Do you have a website or an email that you're attached to?
Well, I've been doing most of my work out of microradio.net, but I've got to get a website for this Chi Time stuff, and that's going to be at x-time.org.
Dot org.